Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
What's happening, people? Today's podcast guest is the one and only Neil Delamere, who popped up to the office for a weirdly distanced chat. He was at the other end of the room, but we had a very interesting chat. It was good to chat to an actual real comedian, you know, not one of these, modern day YouTube online type comedians, you know, an old school traditional media, talented, funny comedian. And I had him on and let him listen to all my little gripes about being one of the aforementioned comedians. But yeah, before we move on today, our podcast, as usual, is manscaped.com. You know the crack, guys. I'm not going to fucking harp on this ad. You buy the fucking thing. You get the package. There's different packages for your packages. And you can get the Lawnmower 3.0. You can get the fucking weed whacker. You can put it together with whatever package you want. With the ball moisturizer, the ball deodorant. There's all sorts of fucking shit in there. There's a cologne, which of course we all know is Spanish for fucking aftershave. But it's all good gear. Put the package together, get a free pair of pants thrown in there, a pair of boxers thrown in, and they're the silkiest. You know, I would go for a package deal to get those fucking boxers by themselves. But yeah, shout out to Manscaped for sponsoring the podcast. The listeners get 20% off if they go through the website and use the code GENBAND1. 20% off your purchase. Like I say, every fucking week, 20% off your purchase. Shave that pipe and balls. It adds 20% on to the length. My guys. Flow CBD LTD, as usual, our old school sponsor also. Banterflow is the code to get you 10% off. As far as I know, they've got all your CBD needs. They've got bath bombs. They've got bloody gummies, which save you taking the CBD all day. You just take one gummy that's got the full day's dosage in it. Get dosed up, and it's tasty. Both the gummies and their CBD is tasty, because a lot of CBD out there tastes like fucking bog water, let's face it. But the Flow CBD gets you nice and loosey-goosey to do whatever you want. Whether it's trying to chill, whether it's trying to do some creative work, whether it's trying to just add to that lifestyle, that flow state lifestyle. Get on it, my guys. The CBD also contains vitamin D, which is very important in these corona times. Keep your goddamn immune system on point, my guys. Anyway, enjoy today's podcast. Comedy legend Neil Delamere, who is playing the SSA Arena in 2022. He will mention the date in the podcast coming up. I'm playing the SSA Arena again this September. There are a few straggly tickets left for the 25th. We sold out the 24th. We might release a few emergency tickets for the 24th closer to the time. If the world is indeed back open. But it's looking that way as we speak. You know what I mean? This is going out publicly across all of our platforms. And if you want to hear more podcasts, I'm recording right after this one. I'm recording a bonus podcast for Patreon. We get them up every week. That's where I put questions for the podcast. That's where I do the initial drops for merch. I've just ordered some diner mugs, which will be a very, very exclusive item to be purchased through the Patreon. If you know what a diner mug is, it's like a regular mug, except you could drop it off a building and it's fine. So we're getting some of those. Very hipster, very cool. But all that stuff was... and there's my phone. That's professional. We're not starting again. That's how we roll. One take get us around here. Phone goes off. We leave it. We leave it in there. Yeah. So get yourself over on the Patreon. There's no pay tiers at the minute. I don't think there ever will be. You know, I trust you guys to make a decent decision. Some people have... limits on theirs, like $10 a month or something like that. I don't think that's fair. I don't want to shut people off. I want you to just be a sound person. And when you go on there and you decide to join the Dead On Mafia, that you go, okay, I could get away with $1, but I'm a reasonable human being. You know, I'll pay the price of an airport coffee, for example, to get these podcasts every month. There'll be at least four, sometimes more. Sometimes I take a mad fit and just, I'm like, I've got an hour free here, I'll stick something up. And that's just during the lockdown times. Once we open up, there'll be a lot more vlogcasts, there'll be a lot more bonus material. We'll be able to go to events and make little bits of content around that, so it should get way more fucking exciting than just these bloody podcasts. But for now, it's straight up podcasts. And yeah, patreon.com/JennaBanderPodcast and ticketmaster.ie. Get yourself a ticket to see me at the SSA Arena, and then get one to see Neil Delamere at the SSA Arena. Okay, cheers, guys. Enjoy the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by comedy royalty today, Mr. Neil Delamere.
Wow.
Wow.
You got the memo.
I've been doing this thing. We had a few guests over Christmas, and I would sort of do this, like, estimated. A lot of them were these sort of multi sort of media type people who had about 10 different sort of titles.
You're looking at their CV.
Yeah. And you also, shredder is the new word. Shoot, edit.
Oh, that's produce. Fantastic. It's like, yeah. Mattress was a model actress. That shit used to be, yeah, yeah. So I love that is the difference between people in Ireland and Britain versus the Americans. Because if you ever did the Montreal Comedy Festival, they would say, you know, they'd always get the, you read out my credits, you know. And then you'd read the credits of the American act or whatever.
Yeah.
And apparently Tommy Tiernan and David O'Doherty, David was telling me one day, Tommy just made some up. So, why like, they not? Were like, you may know him from his starring role in Flanagan's Pajamas and all this bizarre stuff. And then Tommy would go out.
Why are they always trying to get comedians to do other things? Why can't they just go, well-known and talented comedian? They're always like, this guy did other stuff.
Yes, to validate his existence.
Yeah.
I think it's all our parents sending notes going, he could have been anything.
Yeah.
He did very well at school.
You know, he did 6 years as a teacher, I'll let you know that. Yeah. First of all, and he's out doing the jokes. They do that.
They do, yeah. Yeah, they do.
In America, it's nuts because the credits are shite a lot of the time.
Well, I think
this guy was a bin man on Breaking Bad, and they're like, wow.
Second leg breaker from the left.
Yeah,
yeah. When they do Kilkenny, it's quite funny to watch the American acts do Kilkenny. Not all of them, but some of them sometimes say to the MC, the Irish MC, "Will you read out my credits?" And we're like, "They will." The audience will not give a shit.
Yeah, no.
We're just wasting time.
It's
and
quarter to 12.
It's quarter to 12.
Everybody's fucking hammered. You're doing 15 minutes. They don't care.
Yeah, yeah. They're waiting for Rock the Boat at a push. Come on, Eileen. Just do your stuff again.
The guy has a fag in his mouth with a lighter like this, waiting for you to rap.
There's a guy writing down a GAA formation on the back of a napkin. Just do your stuff. That's all we want.
Oh, I would love to get the Kilkenny. Is it like an invite-only type thing?
It is an invite-only type thing, but I think that's one of the reasons comics like it so much, is because there's no reviews, there's no press, there's no pushing of shows. Everybody does 20 minutes and you just have that crack with your friends, you know what I mean?
I'd love to get up there. I mean, there's a weird thing that's happened up here where nobody would take any interest, especially in me. No one took any interest in anything. So you just kind of kept yourself to yourself. You're like, well, fuck you, I'll run my own club and I'll do this and I'll set my own thing up. And you kind of bypass all that, you know?
Isn't that savage, though? That is brilliant, because basically it used to be, there used to be gatekeepers. There used to be men in grey suits, and it was invariably men in grey suits who would decide the path of Colin Geddes or anybody else. And they would go, yeah, I like him, but I can't see him on the radio, or I like him, but he doesn't work for television. And in Northern Ireland, and particularly, and in Dublin as well, particularly in small markets, you know, there wasn't many opportunities. Yeah. And now you lads, like the likes of you and Shane, can particularly go, nah. And Foil Arms and Hog did the same thing. Nah.
Yeah.
We'll do it our way.
Foil Arms and Hog played Laveries. You've played Laveries before? And they played Laveries a couple of times. And I remember there was just, they had this hot year.
Yeah.
And I sent them a message, you know, like, hey, we're just booking lineups. You guys want to pop up? And they were like, no.
No.
No. Yeah. You don't even have the infrastructure to, you know, facilitate what we need. And I was like, fair. Fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But like, isn't that, that's brilliant, because that's the other way.
Yeah.
People don't have to be terrified of, if they do have radio, or they do have television, what happens if it goes away? Just go on the internet and do it.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I think that was it. Especially for the guys up here. They just had to, they had to jump in. I mean, things like, you're up here to do the Blame Game. I don't think any local guys would get on it. Maybe. I don't know.
On the Blame Game?
Yeah.
Would get on it or have been on it?
Well,
I don't know. It just seems like
Mickey Bartlett's been
Mickey's
on it.
Mickey's been on it. Yeah.
Shane's been on it.
Okay, they've all been on except me. Yeah. That's more of the point I was trying
I think that is. We were getting to the point, yes. I mean, the fact... Yeah.
I was starting to...
I would blame the producer on that.
Okay.
Are you the only one who hasn't been on it?
I think so.
Oh, God.
I mean, wonder, is there a few crosswires with me opening a starting a comedy club like around the corner?
I mean, this is awkward now. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it is awkward.
It would have been okay if you were able to name all the other Northern Irish comics who haven't been on it.
Yeah.
But, like, Michael Legg's been on it. Elaine Malcolmson's been on it.
Yeah.
These
are the guys that went away for work.
Martin Moore's been on it.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, Jackie, give me a shout.
That's all we have time for. But I'm sure as you do your two sold-out SSE arenas and your first joke echoes around the stadium, I think you'll be like, ah, it's grand. I'll get over it.
Yeah, well, yeah, possibly.
As on a punchline, someone uses the Belfast Giants T-shirt cannon to fire out... Colin Geddes merchandise. I think he'd be okay.
You're doing the SSE, you might know all about it now, but they'll try and work your name or something into like a bit of a gimmick. You know, the flog pints or something at the bar. They did that with me.
What was
it called more? It was like the Godzilla burger or something. And it was like, hey, it's a fucking, you know, burger with goujons in it. If you want to die by halftime. I was like, what is this? I know it's like a small deal, but it's like, I'm not trying to flog burgers.
You're immediately into your contract going, if they do die by halftime, I do retain the takings of the ticket. Once they're in, that's all that's important.
Yeah, because they're in there with the hockey team, it's immediately Americanized. You know, you're like fucking...
What have you called your shows? Have you ever played on your name when you do shows?
The last show was Godzilla, which was the original name of my YouTube channel years ago.
There's a man who hasn't done enough Edinburgh Fringe Festivals.
Oh, yeah.
Because you really do your name. Like, you run it dry.
Get us to the Greek. Like, it's just...
Get us to the Greek is very good.
Yeah, get us out of here. There's fucking a million of them now.
I'm a celebrity. Get us out
get
of
us
here.
Get us out of here. Yeah, the themed poster and everything. The shorts with a hat.
I had the Fresh Prince of Delamere. That was the best one.
Christ the night.
Yeah. And then I had Delamere Mortal, which is a different pronunciation of my surname.
Yeah.
That's how desperate I was for puns.
You're like Eminem. You just change the inflection on the word just to make it rhyme.
Playing with language, man. I'm telling you, I'm an artist.
Oh, my God. And speaking of the Fringe, fuck you for calling me out at that last one. We went to your gig.
Yeah.
And what was it? The pool room was the venue?
Billiard room.
Billiard room. Full sweat box, height of Edinburgh Fringe. I was wearing shorts and you could feel sweat just going down into your sock.
Yeah.
And then and I was fucking in and out of consciousness. And then right at the end, you were like, get us, yeah? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, but in fairness, I spotted you 5 minutes in and I left it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was the polite thing to do.
You see, I thought I'd just blend right into that Edinburgh mix.
Yeah. Nobody does.
Taking up two seats in the fucking
thing. Were you there the night that the former chief constable of the PSNI was in there?
No.
So there's a guy, pretty sure it was former chief constable, very high up anyway. I think it was a former, and he had just retired. And that was the night that the person in front of me, if people don't know the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, you do a show and there's somebody else in the room before you and there's a person on after you. So you have quite a tight turnover in the shows.
Yeah.
And there was some sort of access issue. So we went up late and then the person after me, so we went over. So, you know, like a 15-minute turnaround suddenly became 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I did the show and afterwards and I thought, I'm never going to get this opportunity again. I got to look at the head of the PSNI and go, you have 2 minutes to get out. In fairness to him, he did laugh.
Yeah.
And then...
did you recognise him? Or were you just like, where are you from? What do you do?
Yeah, I've done the blame game for so long.
Yeah.
I prep. Every season I look through retired and current PSNI officers. I know everybody.
Is your bedroom like a detective drama with all the fucking red string everywhere?
Yeah, there's a map of Ireland, both north and south, and it's just red strings everywhere. Yeah. No, he came up to me beforehand and introduced himself, which at which point I thought, he's fair game.
Come on, bro.
He's sitting in the front row, he's fair game.
Yeah, he's game. That's like, I remember the time Rory McIlroy was in the Empire.
Really?
And he had his people tell Murph that, he's like, can you tell him I'm here? And I'm sure Col Murphy was like, oh yeah, big golf guy here.
Yeah,
let's get stuck into the banter here.
There's one thing I know about Colin Murphy.
Yeah, it's big golfer.
Punk, art and golf. I mean, the The holy trinity of pastimes.
He's there putting studs in his golf bag just to rock it up a bit.
I had Jonathan Rhys-Meyers at a gig in Kilkenny years ago. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting there and he was at the height of his fame as well. And I thought, it's not really... I didn't think he actually wanted to be talked to. So I kind of left him alone. But I was prepared if he did say anything or anything. Because you don't know. I was going to like, oh man, listen, I know you're causing trouble or whatever. But I think you're brilliant. I love all your films. Tigerland, Intermission... I love all of those films, Dumbo, and just name films with Colin Farrell in them.
Yeah.
And deliberately try and keep going for an hour to see if I could really annoy him. But like, I never even spoke to him. The man is probably lovely.
Yeah, I'm sure. No, I'm just on a fucking, what else was Colin Farrell in?
I know, SWAT.
The sex tape with Britney Spears. Who did he do a sex tape with? Did he not get a sex tape? It was that period of time, everyone had one.
Yeah. You know, sometimes like, I wish I had been more productive in those days.
Well, now's the time, Maureen. This multi-cam setup, you know what I mean? Just fucking bum, bum, bum all over the place. How are you feeling about this SSE show? Pumped?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
What's the date?
It is the 26th of February, 2022.
Been waiting this whole 13 minutes for that shit. Class.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I really hope gigs happen before that one. I wouldn't like that one to be the first one back. I'd like to have really done a lot of gigs and getting the muscle working again, you know?
Yeah, I've been shitting my pants about that too, because...
When's yours?
September again.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's a bit fucking...
We'll just about get the stink out of the place by that stage.
Yeah, it's fucking...
He died so badly, we had to air out the place. No, I mean, I think stuff will be back, particularly here... outdoors.
No, mine's this year.
No, but I think stuff will be back this year in the autumn, in the summer outdoors. So you'll hopefully, get your run.
Have a few books for outside, yeah.
Yeah. You'll probably be just kicking over needles.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking now, just wading through them in fucking wellies.
Like Keith Richards after a Rolling Stone concert. Yeah. You'll just be kicking through various bits of medical detritus.
I know, you'll just be getting heckles. You're like, what are they saying? It's just someone standing on a needle.
Yeah. Waiting for a second jab. Southerners pretending to be from here is what it will be.
You know, you when you're picking someone in the front, you're like, what the fuck's wrong with your face? You're not laughing. They're like, I'm just waiting on the second Pfizer, if she's got it kicking about there. Got my Godzilla burger, just need a fucking second jab.
Now, that's what the Godzilla burger is. It's a Moderna mRNA vaccine in the middle.
You know, one of those hipster cocktails where they leave it hanging out of the drink. You put it in yourself, there you go. Lovely job. I've had my first jab.
Have you?
Yeah.
How?
Because...
What's wrong with you? That's the nice way of saying what's wrong with you.
Because Maureen was high risk there for a minute, so they wanted to book her in. Maureen's still high risk. But it was too soon to get it.
Right.
So they just rang back from the doctors and were like, do you want to send your husband in? I'm a carer. And I fucking waded into the doctors with all these old ladies just fucking out of the way, Doris, and fucking get it in there. And I mean, the doctor literally was, you know, so used to turning around and, hitting all these elderly people. And he turned around and was like, just in the arm of it. He literally was like, fuck, are you doing here?
The way you're miming it is like he did it in your hip, because he's always at that level.
Yeah,
older lady level. Yeah. Just straight into your...
He nearly hit me in the middle of the tits, and then he had to be like, oh, hold on a second. Straight in there. But the side effects, man.
Go on.
Nothing.
Nothing whatsoever.
I can feel a chip floating around my blood, you know, but it's all good.
Are you getting a boost 5G signal, are you?
Yeah, it's hopefully really in this industrial state.
I'm getting radio stations from Kazakhstan. It's absolutely amazing.
I know. I know guy's got an iPhone 12, still can't get the 5G. I would take it. You know what I mean? The speed's around here.
Have you got anything planned for your big show that you wouldn't do in a normal show? Or is it just you, larger than life?
The first one was very much like, okay, I haven't spoken to anybody that's done this. This is a big move. I'll go out and I'll do both halves, you know, by myself.
Have you done one already?
No, so I've got the last SSE ones. They're been and gone. And I've got two more coming up.
So you've already done the SSE?
Yeah.
So what's it like to do?
Fine. Like, honestly, at the end of, like, the sort of autumn tour, it was just like another... I mean, you're obviously a bit more fucking hyped up or whatever.
Yeah.
But the actual delivery and everything is... People always going about like, oh, there's a delay and whatever, but like, you've this, you know, sort of, it's material, but it's kind of conversational. You can bring the room size way down when your style is like that. I feel like if you were dishing out one liners, it'd be like, da 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 da, boom. you know, but you can keep it rolling, like.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's so, I mean, it's such a fucking anticlimax because, honestly, you do the gig, you know, you're expecting pyrotechnics, I'll jump on the helicopter here and whatever, and then you just drop Mickey Bartlett back to Lurgan, and he's like, man, honestly, he's steaming in the car, honestly, man, it was fucking great. I wanted to kill you yesterday, but it was actually fucking great, man. You know, I'm like, get out of the car. When you see the size of the operation compared to, like, your normal gig.
Is it the biggest gig you've ever done?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have done 10,000 seats on a bill.
What was that for?
I did gigs in Australia, or not Australia, I did gigs in South Africa that were in this massive convention centre. There's about 6,000 people at it. But they're all on the flat, which is really weird. And then I did some gigs with Kevin Bridges.
Okay.
And he was doing 10,000 seats.
Jesus.
And he said, do you want to do these? I said, yeah, I want to do them just to see what they're like. This is years ago. I want to see just what they're like. And that is a level of you're waiting for it to come back, and you know it's.
Yeah.
And if they go, I say on the DVD night, we're starting at 8 o'clock. We, because Kevin has to be on or whatever.
Yeah.
We have to start at 8 o'clock, and you go, really? You go, yeah. Like if people are slightly late, you're going on, and you're going on, and there's 6,000 people streaming in, and you're in the corner like a flute, just talking away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's funny that you talk about the level of. All the stuff behind it, you know.
Yeah.
Like at that point, I don't know if it was him or somebody else, he had this Dutch guy who used to sell merch. He's Glasgow, people don't buy a lot of t-shirts. He just got more and more drunk. Don't buy a lot of t-shirts, Glasgow people. And his accent gets stronger and stronger. He was really cool though. But you see like the screens and the trucks rolling up, and it's a different scale, isn't it?
Or you see like the security getting briefed. And there's like 200 people, and you're like, that's a gig on its own.
Yeah.
Just these, you know, these yellow coats here.
Yeah.
It's it does feel like a lot of pressure, you know, to just come right down to that, you know, 90 minutes or whatever. You got to be.
Yeah.
Got to be hot.
I suppose you just have to think that, like, if you're back and you're doing all your other stuff, it's just the same speech, isn't it, in front of more people?
Totally. Although this time there seems, you know, gigs seem to be a bit more of an event. Even though they haven't happened yet, but I'm looking at gigs now and I'm like, I wonder, could I make it more of a like actual night out, you know, like a bit of a variety show, bands and DJs.
I'm gonna bump into you in the street and you'll be carrying a glitter cannon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Be like,
oh, yeah.
Oh God, you've gone full Elton, haven't you?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You're like,
need to give the people a show.
Yeah, it's a full, yeah, the glasses are like fucking out here. Neil! It's crack, man. There's a tiger in that cage. You seen it? It's real.
Getting one of your minions to wave to me for you. Yeah. And then if I wave to your minion, I'm allowed to wave to you.
Shoot a t-shirt at Neil, please.
Oh God, it's just after taking him out. Still another day in the SSC, forget us.
It's just going to get more and more out of hand. But it'll get round to it and I'll be like, nah, I'll just go on for half an hour. But like, right now, when you can't gig, you're like, fucking get it all.
Yeah.
Get everything. We'll lose money on it, you know? Let's go full Wolf of Wall Street.
Have you been doing any Zoom gigs?
None at all. I refuse. I can't bring myself to do it.
I refused for... Well, I say refuse is too strong a phrase. I just went, no, I'm okay, thanks.
Well, yeah.
I didn't make a stand.
Yeah, yeah.
I was at your protest that I thought was very effective.
Yeah.
I just went, nah, it's okay. And then, like, 9 months in, I went, I better just do something, you know?
I don't have it in me to pretend that it's normal. You know, yeah. I'd be like, well, this is too strange.
Think of every girl you've ever gone out with. She did it for you. This is not regular, but I'm going to pretend. I've done some, like, so Sarah Millican has a gig, and it's really, she's so well organized, anyway, generally, Sarah.
Yeah.
And she, it kind of works for her. And the great thing is, it's a new material gig.
Okay.
So the audience are like, and it's the same audience all the time.
Yeah.
And then there's a wider YouTube audience, and it's, you know, this is specifically to try new material. But it's not close to what we do, really.
That delay kills me.
Yeah.
That fucking delay. Like, we've even done some little quizzes at home. Not a gig, like a little quiz, you know, and you're used to like firing off a joke and then it, you know, falls on deaf ears and then Maureen will repeat it. Like, oh, Colin just said this, and then they all laugh and you go, oh, fuck, you need 12 seconds to let that sink in. And then I fucking flip the table and leave, just losing my mind.
I'm noticing a pattern here. Microphone breaking, table flick. You didn't even have to consider which button you were reaching for there.
Oh, that's the truth bomb, wasn't it? That's a regular occurrence.
Okay.
Over here, it's very cool. I was trying to have a conversation with Cormac McDermott, who's from a little collection called the Barrack Boys.
Okay.
They make videos online.
Yeah.
And obviously, your guy's, you know, travelled all around Ireland doing gigs everywhere. And I was trying to chat to him about like what he thought his identity was.
Right.
Because I was like, there seems to be this. I read about this recently. When people were talking about, you know, like the millennials being sort of detached from any identity up north.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
And I'm just going to be like, you get about the place. Have you noticed that at all? Like, there just seems to be this, even with the comedians, where they, you know, they're Northern Irish, but they try and do it in a very, like, American style of comedy, nearly. I don't know.
Well,
because you're saying you're a researched guy. You can go about the place. You know fucking probably more about the place you're in than the locals do.
Do I notice a difference? I mean, I think, like, a millennial, by the way, technically, is if you're 40 now, you're a millennial.
What's I'm saying? I'm 34.
Yeah, so you're full-on millennial.
Yeah.
I think that, and the reason that you are able to sell so many tickets and to do the SSE Arena and all the rest is because there's been not only a democratization of content, but there also is an outward look from everybody now that didn't necessarily exist years ago. So if you are 50, you only got your comedy on probably something like the BBC stand-up show, mm-hmm. in the 90s, whereas now you have YouTube, so you can watch everything. So I suppose it's only natural that a comic now would find the, not just so if you're 50, you saw British and Irish comics on TV and pretty much not that much else, unless you got your Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
VHS, probably, yeah. I suppose it was. Or you before that, you got Bill Cosby tapes. Yeah. Or
Richard Pryor in our house.
Or Richard maybe. Pryor, yeah.
Early Pryor, yeah.
Yeah. So I suppose now, if you're 34 or you're or under that, you can go and you can watch anybody of any ethnicity or any. I'm trying to figure out the word. Nationality is the word I was looking for. And you just find a person you like, so it doesn't matter where they're from.
Yeah.
So I suppose not. I suppose those younger comics will just find that, and they will look towards kind of sophisticated or what they deem sophisticated American things.
Because I always looked at, like, you know, I did the Fringe once, probably way too early. What was it, 2013 or something?
Yeah.
And you know, every fucking other flyer is like, "Oh, Irish comedy at 8 o'clock."
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't even know if I can sell this as Irish comedy.
Well, yeah. Why? Because of the style of it.
The content and the style, possibly, yeah.
But would you call yourself Irish? Like, if you call yourself Irish and you're doing comedy, you're allowed to call it Irish comedy.
Yeah, yeah. But
and Edinburgh, listen, you're allowed to say whatever you want to get bums on seats.
Exactly, yeah. Irish mime. Get in! Just fucking get in. No, I would probably say Northern Irish, but not British at all. But I don't know whether it would qualify...
Even as that?
As Irish. I don't know.
Why? Does that mean that you think of Irish comedy being a specific sort of thing?
Maybe, yeah. Because I know a lot of, you know, down south comedians can come up, no problem, work all over the place. But I feel like when it goes the other way.
The other way.
It's a different thing. And you say, oh, fucking the Nordies are here. And I don't know. It's very...
I think I know what you mean. Mm. But if you think of somebody like Kevin McAleer.
Yeah.
Who is from Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And that always works. Because I think that level of just kind of mad surrealism.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And Jim Owen.
Two sort of fairly alt acts there.
Yeah.
You know?
So people will buy into it if it's... Yeah, I suppose... I mean, how do you classify Irish comedy? Do you classify it as storytelling generally?
You see,
And how do you classify yours?
I actually don't know. I actually don't know how I would classify the Irish thing, but I think what people from, say, Scotland or England are expecting is the fucking, you know, like, the Dougal act, nearly, the sort of thick Irish man.
Do you think?
Being a bit sort of, I don't know.
But I mean, if you think, look at the most successful Irish acts in England today, Dara,
mm-hmm.
who is noticeably and wears his smartness on his sleeve,
mm-hmm.
Maxwell, Andrew Maxwell, who does the same, but in a different way, and Ed Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they are expecting that anymore.
Do you know what we've learned today? I need to watch more comedy. That was me. It's probably me just bringing to the table things that I've experienced and just being like, oh.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, as we know, we have to take note of people's lived experience. So, I mean, yeah.
Do you think that this lockdown has made comedy a bit more of a day job also?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very worried that it won't come back in the way we think. I think that we are, God, I shouldn't say this, but I think two or three bizarre variants and 18 months of people not being able to work turns into 2.5 years. And that will wipe out the people who are just starting. And we will lose a whole load of people who otherwise would have enriched the whole.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
And even personally, you know, there's a lot of gigs that I reminisce about now, and it's nearly like, did that even happen?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're sort of thinking back, do you remember you used to just drive to fucking Galway or something and do a gig and it was great? You're like, imagine that now. Like,
but if you were established, you're fine. If you were just getting a foothold, you know, you're not.
Yeah, but maybe those guys are the ones who are jumping on, obviously, a big podcast boom.
Absolutely.
Zoom gigs, other types of, you know, people are straight up taking their material and just saying it down the camera and chopping it quickly so that it's content,
which is brilliant, and it's a great outlet for people if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
But if they are somebody who just wanted to be a purist and who wanted to sit in a room on a like Dave Allen on a stool, or you know, and just like, there's nothing like the magic of 400 people or 300 people or even fewer in a room with a low ceiling and it's a little bit too warm and you are allowed to say pretty much whatever you want because we are all in this together. It's like comedy during the 1916 Rising or the planning of some sort of illicit event.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
And I just hope that comes back.
Yeah, totally. I think maybe it's just that sort of generation that might be coming through now, that the idea of a purist is like out the window.
Yeah, but that's
it's like you can be a purist, you know, at an open mic night to nobody.
Yeah.
For as long as you fucking want. Like, but
it depends on where you started. Like, the idea of a purist even in the US used to really not exist. Well, not in the same way as it did here. Like, again, you look at the Montreal Festival. So there was a big difference between the Montreal Festival and, say, the Edinburgh Fringe. The Edinburgh Fringe was an hour long. It was your show.
Yeah.
It was really kind of soul-bearing, and you figured out if you could do that sort of show. Montreal used to be all of these Canadian and American acts, particularly doing 5-minute sets at galas. That was a big
showcase
thing.
Like,
and they used to come on and do these bizarre little impressions and all the rest because they were trying to get the wacky neighbor role in a sitcom. And that's what it was. Yeah. That was really what it was.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. So a lot of those guys, because they were coming from a circuit where, like in New York, where you get $20 for a spot or $30 is.
Yeah.
They weren't working comics in the way that somebody in London would be, you know?
Yeah.
So I suppose it's just, you just become whatever you have to become.
Yeah. Yeah, right enough. And I remember saying to even like Mickey Bartlett, like, you know, we're talking about trying to sell tickets and stuff. And I was like, I'm sure if you said to a comedian, like say in the 90s, you know, if you can do all this extra work during the day being funny, that it would contribute to the numbers that showed up at the gig that night.
Yeah.
They would be like, fucking right. This sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
And then it comes around to like, you know, 2020, 21. And you're like, you know, you should probably do a bit more content in the day. And people are like, nah, fuck that, man. I'm a fucking road dog. I just do straight up stand up, you know?
Well, I suppose they just don't want to change their ways, some of them. And some of them are wedded to that. The model is, I get on television, I become famous, and then that the work is done.
Yeah.
Whereas you think about, if you generate the stuff yourself all of the time, and all of the podcasts, and all of the video content, and all that, like, that's self-generated. That requires much more work. I think I would admire
probably,
someone who's built their own little empire more than someone who got on a TV show and got lucky.
Yeah, and it probably in this day and age can go wrong where the extracurricular work can fucking shoot you way ahead, way up the queue, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my god, there's fucking 2,000 people in this room, and I have 18 minutes of material or whatever.
Yeah, you do see that sometimes, all right, yeah. I always thought the Foil Arms and the Hog were the ones that it worked out perfectly for. So they were doing stuff. I did a documentary on Vikings, I'd say about 10 years ago, and they were the sketch group in it. And they were brilliant. And it's like, Archie, for whatever reason, they weren't really making sketch shows, never gave them a sketch show on BBC, never gave them a sketch show. And they were live acts and they were starting to build a profile, for example. Yeah. You know? But by the time they got a big profile, they were so good at live work. Once they got you in the room from their YouTube stuff,
yeah,
they kept you.
Oh yeah.
And that's what it just built and built.
Yeah, it all
and
just
built.
Came together at the yeah. right time. Like yeah. yeah. Yeah, they're fucking unbelievable. We'll switch over to the Patreon for some questions here, because I know there was loads, but we'll skim through them a little bit. And of course, not working. Should have got the laptop out. Posts. There was reference to the fact that in that photo that I put up, that you look a bit like Mickey Bartlett. But in fact, I think the question was like, why does Neil look like Mickey Bartlett without a drink problem? But sure, we'll edit that bit out.
Maybe I just hide mine better.
Where did you two first meet? Well, we've only really met this twice.
Yeah, this is it.
Lavery's and fucking briefly at the Fringe, which, you know, I'm sure if you're just after a show, you can't be asked meeting anybody. But you come up for Lavery's that time. Was there a vibe that you maybe thought that was a small, you know, cafe type gig? I remember you saying that to me at the time.
I thought it was slightly smaller than it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was getting,
because it was a club night, but yeah, it was great crack.
Yeah, they were jammed out. That was before the safety regulations came in. They had to tape off the floor. We used to just be like, get on in there, stand on each other's toes. It's yeah, all good.
It was a great vibe, though. I mean,
oh yeah, I mean, it's fucking brilliant. Like, and it's see. We definitely missed that, but it was a sort of necessity at the time, because it was like a middle ground between things like the Empire and whatever and like a full open mic night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously the bigger rooms bring in like bigger acts and bring them in from England and stuff, whereas that was kind of like, this is where the local guys who are decent get to like run through some stuff. Like, but
I just think that is a brilliant, I think it's a brilliant thing that happens in stand-up, that I was there one night when, in the Cellar Bar in the International, a friend of mine was emceeing, and he goes, "And our next act on is Eddie Izzard." And there's maybe 60 people in the room, and they all went, "Yeah, okay, Grant."
And then
Eddie Izzard walked on, and their mind's blown. You know, I think it's an amazing thing in stand-up that you still get, like, so there's no way for someone to know if something is really funny or not unless they try it out. Right, so yeah. There's no way, no matter how long you do this, you get an instinct for what works and what doesn't work. But really, the proof of the pudding is putting it in front of strangers. So that means that every so often, you will see Daniel Kitson or Eddie Murphy. Daniel Kitson, by the way, always makes my phone go. It's just a weird thing.
It's crazy. Don't say it again.
That sounds like your phone, though. Yeah. So you still get those massive people in tiny rooms, and it's kind of magical, you know?
Yeah, I've told the story on here before, but like, I did the Museum of Comedy.
Yes.
And then, you know, it's very
Bloomsbury.
Very small room. Usually sometimes 2-3 shows on a night. And I had two on, and I wrapped the second one, and the guy that was sort of the manager of the place was like, "Yeah, if you just quick turn around, I've got another show. I've left your bag over there in there with Frank or whatever." And I was like, "No problem." I opened the door and it was like Frank Skinner. And I was like, "Don't just say Frank." You know what I mean?
Yeah. Give me some warning.
Yeah, don't make me bust in on Frank Skinner, like taking a piss in his room or something.
"Hello, you're my comedy hero."
I was like, "What the fuck are you doing here?"
"Look at you. What? Imagine if he was taking a piss. Yeah. You got three lines on your comedy." It's just really weird.
Commitment, my man.
Football never came home, did it?
No. Nah.
it's probably sore to get it removed.
Yeah, you're playing here with the 60 people.
You just thought you'd commit, did you? Yeah, I know. But you don't go, go out playing five-a-side football and then Messi turns up to keep himself sharp.
Yeah.
You know, I'm playing Champions League next year. I better just keep my first touch.
A bit of a strain there. I just want to keep this leg warm. Yeah. You know, get it moving.
So it's kind of magical, you know?
We were in LA a couple of years ago and went to the Comedy Store, and it was the same thing. You know, like all these people that you're just seeing constantly on Netflix and whatever, just in a row. Like 10 of them, you know, Tom Segura, Chris D'Elia, God rest him, fucking everybody, Joe Rogan, he wasn't great, in fairness, just everybody that's all over the internet these days.
It's kind of...
For $15, it's crazy.
Yeah, and then you feel like, I'm contributing to the thing that I've complained about. Yeah. These people can't make a living. Entertain me, just like a Roman crowd, throwing dollars at Joe Rogan.
The cocktail was more expensive than the ticket. The fuck's going on here? We'll see what else we got here. I absolutely should have Who's more culture? Are you a culture?
I am a culture, yeah.
Yeah?
Given the fact that you've asked me who's more culture, would suggest it's not me.
Okay.
Who's more culture? Me or you, is it?
Well, I get mistaken for a culture because I've done a few characters that would be a bit culture-esque.
Right, but where are you from?
Newton Abbey, like I'd say.
Okay, so that's kind of greater Belfast.
Yeah.
So, okay. You're not
can't
really
say Belfast because then someone from actual Belfast would be like, you're not from fucking Belfast, you're 4 miles away. You know.
But those 4 miles make all the difference.
Oh yeah, that stretch of motorway is like,
yeah, it's some, yeah, 4 miles isn't,
it's
that
the white
impressive
wall for some people.
That's why the Proclaimer song was a bit more than that.
Yeah, I would walk 4 miles.
I'm pretty culty, but I'm a long time out of, like, I've lived longer in Dublin than I did in Cultureland. So
what is where are you from originally?
Offaly.
Offaly,
yeah. That's see that quizzical look. That's pretty much,
I mean, I know that
the normal response to
that's it. Nearly like, I mean, I've never been.
No.
But I've heard it almost as a punchline plenty of times.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of very rural between Galway and Dublin, and nobody's ever been there really.
Yeah. Jesus.
But I remind you, you're from Newton Abbey, so
I mean, it's the most nothing suburban, you know. You don't even want to tell people where you're from because you're like, it's not technically there, but it's kind of, it's not, you wouldn't, yeah, call that, but it's like,
someone's going to completely tune out with technically.
Yeah, you're like, just fucking move out, Jesus, yeah, Christ. What does he think of Lurgan and Yuri? And what do you think is the worst? Because, I mean, Lurgan and Yuri take a regular bashing on this show.
I haven't been to Lurgan too often. I've been to Yuri a few times. Quite like Yuri, actually, I have,
yeah,
to say. Yeah. Yuri is the only place I've ever seen a handwritten sign saying genuine diesel for sale. Like a marker on a sign. It was brilliant. Like, you're fooling nobody, my friend. Nobody.
Oh, so Newry. That is so Newry. And it's just a guy with buckets of diesel. Yeah. It's not even in a fucking vessel.
It just comes out.
Where it just pours it into your boot. Where do you want it? Just anywhere. Did you bring a bucket? What a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, they're the container sizes. Bucket, bath.
Yeah,
and he has to get his brother out of the bath. There's, yeah, a brother in the bath like a flake ass. Yeah.
The three of them tip it over. Empty, yeah, that out. There's man's after fucking 80 gallons of red.
So, for that kind of wild frontier spirit, I kind of like Newry, to be,
yeah,
honest.
Bandit country, isn't it? Or is that sort of, well, same place, isn't it? What's the crack like behind the scenes on Blame Game?
It's got a crack. There's a lot of abuse. There is a huge amount of abuse.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear because some, you know, you might expect everyone's panicking and fucking rewriting jokes and stuff, or is,
well,
it just,
see,
a lot of...
Colin Murphy and I have done 2 panel shows in 2 jurisdictions for about 15 years. Well, kind of 10 and one and 15 and the other. So he's like my comedy wife.
Yeah.
So sometimes, if we know a big news story is going to come up, you know, and you're going, well... So you don't know the order of... And you don't know what else anybody's going to say of something, right? On most of the panel shows. But if there's a massive story, you go, well, we're going... You know, that Harry and Meghan interview this week, we're going to talk about that. Mm. A lot of the time, I'll write down an idea going, okay. And then he'll do the same idea or I'll do the same idea. So,
yeah,
sometimes we do that. But there's a lot of... There's dogs abuse being thrown at.
Do you ever just write his joke for him to piss him off? That's probably a level of shit you'd be. You can have that one.
Yeah.
Dead,
yeah,
it for you.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
No, I'm going to do your joke. I'm going to do it worse than you, but before you.
Yeah.
So it ruins it for everybody. That is the level of begrudgery that I'm involved with here.
Yeah, I'll take it on the chin.
And Tim's just the nicest man in the world.
Of course he is, yeah.
So it's just a really good, it's a good vibe. I think audiences, my thing about audiences was always, they're really intuitive. Television or radio or TV. And they just know if something's a little bit off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just kind of instinctively know. So if you're having the crack, that comes across as well.
Yeah, totally. I would love to, I suppose it's like any show where you're like, I would love to just see, you know, the podcast on... unedited version of like a Blame Game,
yeah,
where just anything goes. There's
careers,
no...
careers go right,
yeah,
after it.
Like, I don't know.
Do you think it's because that? Yeah, you're primarily famous from sketches, right?
Famous? I don't know.
Known. You have
known,
your profile from. So do you do you therefore think that if someone is doing a panel show, they go, well, what way is he going to do it?
No.
Do you think? No, you don't think that.
What do you mean? Like,
so someone's booking a panel show,
yeah,
and they go, do you want to get us? And we go, well, he's really popular, he sells loads of tickets. And somebody else goes, oh, well, he does sketches, so is he going to answer as himself?
Oh, yeah. No, that, I mean, like, fucking 9 years ago, maybe.
Mm.
It was that sort of... Because there was an initial batch of sketches that got pretty big, And I started doing
the fighter.
I'm fighter, and I started doing stand up like 6 months later.
Right.
So they were both running parallel, but obviously more people see the fucking the stuff online than they do. And it took probably like 4 or 5 years to like fully shake that off.
Right.
And then you do just run into some guy in like a spa, and he's like, "Do you fucking do you do any of that madness?" And literally a guy in a bar one time with visible coke in his nostril. And he's like, "You're a fucking mad bastard. Do you ever do them things on Facebook and all? What happened? Is that all over?" And you're like, "Bro, it was only about 10 years ago. Let's move on.
Did you organically, I feel like I'm interviewing you, did you organically move away from those? Or did you deliberately go, "I'm going to stop doing this"?
I was still putting things out over a period of time, a few years. I just don't, you know, you get to a certain age, you're like, I'm not dressing up, you know, on a Tuesday morning to shoot a character piece. I just got bored of it. But I get bored of everything, you know what I mean? I'll move about and do different things.
Okay.
But yeah, there was that initially where people would, even like a small interview in a paper, they'd be like, "Are you answering this as Barry or yourself?" And you're like, well, it's in print, so... I don't know what the difference is going to be.
You're going to do everything in italics for Barry, are you?
Yeah.
I think your readers are going to get annoyed.
Yeah, don't be calling anyone a cunt if you're in character.
Well, don't be doing it if you're in character, but as yourself, it's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. But yeah, there was a lot of that back in the day. Or even like you would have a different accent and people were baffled. You know, you could see their eyes darting about like, are you not wearing a bandana in public? Heartbroken, some of them, you know. I thought you were fuck's sake, gonna talk to you about tractors for half an hour.
And you just go to the top shelf in a spa and body slam them. And they're delighted with themselves.
I know. Well, there was a lot of that. Like, would you not do that live? And you're like, well, I'm not gonna make people pay to watch me like badly kick a punch bag.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think it transfers well.
But I suppose it's tricky though, isn't it? If you become well known for something and then you do live shows, you really have to tell people what they're coming to see.
Oh, yeah, and you I
know,
would, yeah.
At the start, I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I think at the start, there was, you know, I was learning to do a bit of stand-up at the start, so the gigs were weird, you know, just those weird gigs where someone runs a...
Yeah, well, that is the great
room
thing.
And I don't know.
But. That's the great thing about panel shows, in that, roughly speaking, a lot of the time they're getting what they see in a panel show, but live. So there's not a massive disconnect between one and the other. So like if they go, "I'm going to go and see Colin Murphy," I'm pretty sure he's going to be roughly the similar.
Similar as... for sure.
You know, so it's not a wide leap for them.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but I've never done any character stuff live, so...
Yeah.
I shook it off pretty quickly, like, any of that weird expectation.
Last 10 minutes of SSC this time.
We'll see, get that encore going. Just let me change my outfit.
Oh, God, you see?
Like that Gervais thing where he's like, let me get in character.
Elton John. I told you, Elton John. Costume changes. All right, Beyonce.
Get the pyro ready. Thank you. What's the best nickname you've ever heard? I work with a fellow who was branded Sniper's Nightmare because he had a bit of a limp. And when he walks, his head moves from side to side.
There's a fellow who worked... doing a bit of building work for my dad, and he was called Pothole because he should be avoided at all costs.
So, actually,
I think that's been said about a few people, though.
I mean, I always talk about my dad had a friend called Skite the Pish because they were on like a stag or something, and they just stopped the bus, and he went for a piss, and the wind blew the piss all over the place. Oh, God. And the guy's like, I don't even really know his real name, just Skite the Pish.
I hope that was at his wedding. Do you, Skite the Pish?
Skite the Pish. Do you have the rings, please?
Take. Mary pissed the bed.
I was actually,
joyfully.
That Sniper's Nightmare thing. I was at a little coffee meeting with our shared promoters, and there was a couple with a baby, and one of the guys goes, "Oh Jesus, look at that Sniper's wet dream there." And they're like, "What?" And because the baby had this fucking giant head, and I was like, "Maybe don't say wet dream when you're talking about kids, bro." You know what I mean? Let it that out. What do you make of the Comedy Squad's Tim McGarry impressions? I mean, that's all the guys up here. The go-to impression is Big Tim.
Oh, is it? I haven't seen that.
I mean, we keep it quiet.
Who's the Comedy Squad?
It was a joke. I mean, that poster there, we did the Ulster Hall years ago, and it was a very deliberate sort of naff name.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know what to call it. But it seems there's... you know, stuck there. Alan Moore, does he remember the time he blanked me in River Island in Dublin about 10 years ago? People move on in Ireland, don't they? They shoot things off.
It's how specific that was. It's not, remember the time he blanked me in River Island in Dublin.
Yeah, if it was like a noisy coffee shop, maybe he'd have understood. Have you had any jokes that didn't make it on air because they were too edgy? Loads, probably, for the Blame Game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've libeled several people that through the years. You say something and then you realise, actually, there's a small technical detail in that that's wrong, so it's probably defamatory.
Yeah.
You know?
That like one's for us, guys. That one's for us.
Small technical detail in that is completely untrue. And you dreamt it last night after eating too much cheese.
You know, there's definitely things I've said even on a podcast, and I'm like, I can almost put together the paramilitary connections on the person I've just mentioned, so I'll just take that out.
What different worlds we're from. I've libeled somebody. You've got to worry about UVF waiting outside.
I've had a few instances where, like, I'll talk about, you know, a meeting with someone outside a gig, and I'm like, oh, what a fucking nightmare that was. And someone will hear it and be like, here, I fucking heard that. How dare you? And you're like, well, maybe, you know, maybe don't act an asshole after a gig. I'm just saying. Please don't shoot me. Thank you.
Look at you trying to not press the truth bomb button.
Fucking hell, things going to break. Top three best and worst places in Ireland to gig and why?
Best places. Let me see. One so far. Grand Opera House in Belfast is really good.
Fuck yeah.
Really good.
Is that open at the minute?
No, I don't think so. No? No. Vicar Street in Dublin is really good. And the Comedy Cellar in Dublin.
Class.
Worst places? Oh. I did. They're not so much worst places as places that you've just done weird gigs. Mountjoy Prison, did a gig there. That was weird.
Mm-hmm. Any cool stories of that? Or
yes.
Near death? Or?
No. I told Shane, actually, so I don't know if I can repeat it on your podcast. Does it matter?
Ah, no one listens to this.
Okay.
no, of course it.
I once did a gig in County Armagh, and the pub had won the opportunity to have a gig, right? And so there was no waiting room or anything.
From who?
From Grairham, from a large brewing company.
Oh, right. I thought you were just selling tickets. I'm doing a raffle for my own gig.
Yeah.
I'll turn up at your bar if you win.
That's pretty much kind of not right. So I meet this fella in the middle of nowhere in our man, his pub, and he goes, go in, you can wait in the back in there. So I went in, and it was his kitchen. It was not green room, it was his kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
And in the kitchen, there was a coffin on the table. And as I walked in, he just closed the coffin and went, don't look in that. And,
a coffin on the table?
Tear coffee. And I was like, yeah, dang.
Like a head of like a wake type thing? Or
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if he was. He might have been an undertaker of some sort, but yeah.
Fucking hell.
I don't know, but there's certainly an open and full coffin.
Ugh. In the kitchen too? Like,
Yeah. You know, it's the coolest place in the house.
Service place, table 14, just slams on top of the thing. Two burgers and a chip.
Well, I suppose it'd be better. It's better that someone's in it rather than him showing you to a room with an empty coffin going, if it doesn't go well tonight, you know what the implication is.
Like, I don't know, I like the finish, you know, seen it in the car boot sale. Thought I would get it.
If it was newer, there'd be diesel in it.
I'm going to upcycle this. keep my knives in it. Oh my God, I would shit my pants. I would just about turn and leave, I think.
Not at that point where...
And what were his exact words? Don't...
He just went, don't look at that.
Don't look at that.
Look away. And he closed the kind of lid. Just don't look at that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Isn't it funny how, like, a lot of the... Where's the best gigs? And it's almost like a specific venue.
Mm.
And then it's like, what's the worst ones? And you're like, the whole place is a shithole. Do you know what I mean? What's your favourite... Oh, do you remember Mandela Hall? Loved that. Great gig. What's your worst gigs? All of Newry. Fuck it. Had a few nightmares in Newry, in fairness.
Did you?
And then Armagh's weird for me because... I sell well and quickly there.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, fucking hell, it's sold out in like a day.
Yeah.
And then I go do the gig and it's a nightmare. And you're like, what is going on here?
We wanted to make sure we could see you not do well.
Yeah.
We bought all our tickets early.
Yeah. And they fucking swivel around in the chairs and just pour their own drink. And you're like, okay, this place is insane. We'll end on a real fucking banger here. Doesn't he like spice bags and spice burgers?
Yeah. Who doesn't? I mean, what's wrong with you if you don't like those?
What's a spice bag? It's a
just kind of shredded chicken in a spice bag.
spice bag in West Belfast is a different thing altogether.
What's the spice bag in West Belfast?
And people smoke spice up here, don't they?
Oh, really? Do they? Really committed to the chicken. Yeah. Wow.
You got to let it dry before you fucking roll it up. But it's spicy.
A spice burger is just, I don't even, I mean, I used to have them as a kid, but that's a kind of hard
how do they describe. How do they spice the burger up?
Who knows? It's a magical blend of spices.
Yeah, it's like a pasty up here. You're just like, what's the pink shit? And you're like, shh, shh, shh. Dip it in the fucking sauce.
Don't ask any questions about what's actually in this.
Yeah, it's pink.
What's in this is joy and hope for the future. That's what the spice is. It's the
and
spice
heartburn.
Of life. Heartburn. Mm, can you taste that? Mm, cholesterol.
Yeah. Enjoy it while you can.
That's what that is.
Right, we'll fucking wrap it up. 50, you gotta be away. Thanks for coming on.
It's been a pleasure.
I appreciate it. Plug that gig one more time.
Yes, it is the SSE Arena, which I hear from all great comedians that is a brilliant place to play and not in any way underwhelming. It's in February 2022 yep. when the plague is over.
Brilliant. Can I come?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Can I come to yours?
Yeah.
Excellent. Can I fire the t-shirt cannon?
You can drive Mickey home.
Oh, God.
Great stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.